There's one. Set for stun.
Three guys sitting in a dark room that smells like bad cucumbers.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Inconceivable!
Now featuring 11 listeners.
This is me.
And give me 25.
This is the Unique Geek.
And welcome to another edition of 50 Days of Dragon Con, the podcast that is in the back corner mixing up chemicals that probably shouldn't be putting together. And joining me, as always, is the lovely, the vivacious, the soon-to-be-really-tired Lee.
Hi! You just really want the NSA to listen to this podcast, don't you?
Yes. Well, this podcast is the bomb.
NSA, his name is John, and I don't know him that well. Really. I just put on headphones. It is the bomb. The bomb. I know. Yeah, it's going to be very soon very tired. All of us are going to very soon be very tired. 10 days plus from now. Is that not 10 days?
Well,
I'll start getting tired 8 days.
Right. So this podcast actually goes out tomorrow, which would be right at 40 days. Yeah.
Wow.
So
I can't 40
days.
Doesn't seem possible.
That means 10 days.
Which really
means only 375 days until the next one. That's actually probably not accurate because Labor Day falls differently every year. But anyway. Close enough.
I'm gonna throw something at your head.
You have some corrections to make. Let's move along.
I have a correction to make. Okay, so Jen was on the podcast, and John has already put it up, but we need to make a quick redaction update on her. She's already put this on the Unique Geek page, and we'll try to put it on her Facebook page too. But the charity will not be accepting credit cards at the Monster Mashup, which is Friday. They are only going to be accepting credit cards at the charity auction. So you got to bring cash to the Monster Mashup, but credit cards at the auction. So that's all good. So yeah.
And that was for if you're going to be buying, specifically if you're going to be trying to buy the challenge coins, because
the challenge coins.
Yeah.
Yep.
Even though there are only a few left to be had, but better bring cash.
And I have to say that I think one of the things a lot of people do get into, and they're like, oh, I don't need to pre-order. Oh, I don't need to do all that. Yeah, you do. You do need, if there's stuff like this, you do need to pre-order because, you know, we don't want to have a whole lot. DragonCon doesn't, we don't have a big space for our office, really, very honestly. And so we don't want to carry it all around. And we don't have the magic yet of like a transporter or something like that where we can just like put it in the ether and then get it later. But I think our guest, John, is working on that so that the DragonCon office can have, you know, really large space in a little tiny area.
So everything can be in negative space? Is that what we're saying?
Negative, yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, who would that be, Lee?
That would be Steven from the Science Track.
Science!
Howdy, howdy.
Hey, how's it going? Welcome back.
Science.
I am getting pre-tired. It's very exciting. I figured, why wait until DragonCon to be tired? I should instead get tired ahead of time.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's just go in and do it now. Well, and this is the gentleman, if you've seen the DragonCon TV videos, who a lot of people in the past have thought is Jonathan Colton, and he's not.
I am not Jonathan Colton. I only played him in one music video.
But everybody who hasn't ever seen Jonathan Colton, did I ever tell you my Jonathan Colton story?
No, go ahead.
I haven't heard it.
Okay, so when was Jonathan Colton there? 3 years ago now?
It was about 3 years ago.
So, all right. So whenever he was there on Thursday night, a friend of ours, Ken, was walking around with this gentleman who I just was doing it. And I was doing my regular Thursday night thing of trying to get from point A to point B to point C and everything set up and all of this. And so I said, hi, and I gave him a big hug. And then he said, hi, this is Jonathan. And I turned and I said, hi, Jonathan. I'm Lee. It's nice to meet you. I hope you have a great con. And then I was talking to Ken, and my husband leaned over and whispered, he goes, you do realize that was Jonathan Colton. And I was like, oh, no, I didn't.
That was not a thing I knew.
And I even know what Jonathan Colton looks like. I've been to many of his concerts. And I was like, I can't. And I later told him, I said, I'm really sorry. I felt like I was kind of rude that I didn't recognize you as Jonathan Colton. He goes, actually, it was kind of nice. He goes, he just thought I was another geek. And I'm like, well, yeah, I like geeks. So it's geek fair. But you are a special kind of geek, Stephen, because you do the real science.
Different kind of geek? I don't know. I'm not willing to claim absolute realness. We're all geeky in our own ways.
I just said different. I didn't say real.
Different I will accept.
A different type of geek. You're a different type of geek. So what exactly is the science track? And why do we have one at DragonCon that's supposed to be a fan con?
Because people are fans of science. This is one of the things that I really appreciate about DragonCon is that they have all of these fan tracks and they run the gamut. So you have the ones that you might expect, like the Tolkien track, you know, like Star Wars, like other ones like that. And you've got some that are more sort of, I won't say serious, but more, I guess, in theory, academically focused, like the science track, the space track, the EFF track, the robotics. And it really comes down to people are interested in it, and it is geek adjacent. It's the same reason that we have a puppetry track, and that's not something that you necessarily think, well, a science fiction and fantasy convention should have a puppetry track. But Bo's track is amazing, and it is certainly geek adjacent, and there's a whole lot of overlap.
Yeah.
Yep. So I like that geek adjacent. That's pretty cool. I like that. Okay.
Well, and it's for me, you know, as a scientist who really enjoys science fiction and fantasy, and who enjoys the fact that the sciences are in conversation with the fiction, I like being part of that interplay and being able not only to talk about more sort of standard science stuff like the terrible prion diseases that might eat your brain, but also look at, well, let's just talk about the science in the Game of Thrones, not in a ha-ha Game of Thrones is stupid because of science way, but to say, well, how close is Game of Thrones to reality? Can you actually crush a man's head by stepping on it? Things like that.
Well, can you?
Can you?
No, sadly.
Oh, I had some plans for later.
You were, yes. I had some thoughts about how you're going to take care of the next person who annoyed you.
Yes. So you cover all things science-y then. What kind of panels, besides obviously the science of Game of Thrones, do you have?
Well, we try to cover not only pure science, but also science and science fiction / fantasy, and then just more sort of pure science entertainment. I mentioned the fact that we've actually got a couple of disease panels going on. We've got the diseases of the brain panel and things like MRSA and Ebola and other terrible flesh-eating-y kind of diseases. But then we will also talk about the delicious, delicious science of food. And about how you do things like brew beer and create yeast to make bread and all of these sorts of things. We've got a couple of science writers and journalists and science communicators who are going to talk about how you create engaging science stories and how you engage the world, how you talk about science to people who are not necessarily scientists, because that's sort of my hobby horse and the thing that I feel really led to do.
Mm-hmm.
And we're also going to have some fun. We're going to put some scientists up on stage and show them clips of science from movies and then ask for them to come up with a legit explanation of why that science is absolutely positively true.
Oh, they have to prove it true?
They have to come up with a scientific sounding explanation of why that science is correct in the movie.
Oh, man.
Well done.
Can you? I want Godzilla with the things that light up as he goes.
Have you done that in the past?
We have not. This is our first year to try it, and wow. I'm kind of excited to see how it goes. And we got to bring back the Solfrex variety show, where we do storytelling and comedy and quiz shows and PowerPoint karaoke and all this stuff that is more on the arts side of science.
Cool.
Awesome.
So there.
You were just kind of saying that you have some scientists and journalists. I mean, how do you get people and how do you bring them all in and stuff?
I beg a lot.
There's nothing wrong with begging. Absolutely nothing wrong with begging.
Well, the neat thing in sort of our current interconnected age is that there are a number of us who like to communicate science and talk about science and not just to other scientists or other just deep fans of science. There's a whole community of science communicators out there on Twitter, on Facebook, even on Google Plus of all places. And it's a mix of scientists who like to talk, you know, beyond the halls of academia, to journalists who are covering the science beat, to bloggers, to artists. There's just a whole bunch of people. And so I get to draw from that community to bring people in. For example, we've got Maki Naro coming in. He's an illustrator and cartoonist who does a science-themed comic called Box Plot for Scientific American. We've got Maren McKenna, who is a journalist who's local to Atlanta and who I was able finally to pry away from the Decatur Book Festival for one day.
Yay!
About her specialty, which is writing about agriculture and antibiotics and what it might be like if we move into a post-antibiotic world, which, spoilers, not a lot of fun. But we've also got a number of scientists from local universities, from Emory, from Georgia Tech, and from further afield. In a lot of cases, it's because there are scientists who already enjoy things like conventions. There was a biologist from Duke by the name of Eric Spana who came last year to talk for the first time. And he did a talk on video games and science, and he did one on Harry Potter and genetics. It was Harry Potter and the Genetics of Wizarding. And he was fabulous and amazing, and he's coming back this year to do some more. So I, in part, it's easier because Dragon Con does draw so many people who are both geeky and scientific, and I can kind of lean on them. It's sort of the same way I got involved in the science track all those years ago. I was coming to Dragon Con, and people found out I did science. So like, hey, you want to come talk some science? And I did, and look where it led me.
And look where it led you. Well, and that's the one thing we could not get around to this year, and I hated it, is because we did a great panel last year about the science of Fringe and some other shows, and wanted to do that again. And unfortunately, guess what? Awful in the schedule. So, but I think next year I want to redo that, because I think there are so many things. I mean, there's the science of Fringe and the science of Person of Interest and all of those things that, for my track at least, and then I look at other tracks and they have the same thing. I mean, I've got hackers and things like that, and I know, I've already watched the hacker show. They don't do it right. So,
which show is that? Are you referring to?
I'm trying to be nice. Okay. So let's just say both of them, and then let's leave it there. But yeah,
well,
I think
you're referring
that's
to Mr. Robot. Thing. Mr. Robot isn't fairly isn't that well. I mean, it is still fictionalized a lot, but it's.
Mm-hmm.
It does a lot of things right in it. But anyway, move on.
It does. But Scorpion is...
Oh, well, no. Yeah. That's just bullshit.
No, Scorpion is amazing. That's a magic show with computers.
It's a magic show. I like that idea. It's a magic show.
I didn't know it existed, and I was in a store checking out, and I turned around, and this show was starting on TV, and it was Scorpion, and I watched the opening credits and the cold open, and I was like, what is that? That looks like just a giant flaming train wreck of a hacking show. That's amazing.
Yeah,
it is. It is a flaming train wreck. That is true.
Anyway, it's pretty painful. So no, but I think there are so many of us that are very interested in, you know, what are they doing right and wrong. But I do. I want to know. I want the scientists to explain how the little triangles on Godzilla's back lit up when he decided that he was really really mad, or she was really really mad.
I'm guessing angry bioluminescence. I see. I'm a physicist and not a biologist, so I can. Big pronouncements about how biology works and be completely wrong. That's
sure.
That's how physicists tend to approach biology.
Well, I'm a sociology major, and I can say when you get angry, well, you know, somehow you're just going to light up because you're so passionate about your whatever social issue. But I digress. John, your turn.
Oh, okay, great. Thanks for the warning.
Look at this hot potato. I have yours.
Hey, so you did. You mentioned getting involved with Dragon Con many years ago. So, give us a little history of yourself with Dragon Con and how you became a director, and why you couldn't run faster than the other guy.
I think it was just sort of a weird combination of people I knew. So I'm here in Huntsville, Alabama, and when we moved here, there was a friend of my brother's he had known in high school and college who was living here. And we started hanging out with her and some of her friends here in Huntsville, which was nice because that shortened that flaily time when you go to a new city and don't know anyone and are freaking out and are like, well, I guess we'll just sit here and be sad. And one of the things that they did is that they volunteered for DragonCon. Some of their friends were from Atlanta and said, you should come and volunteer. And we sort of got sucked into that. They were part of the technical operations, the tech ops crew, that they're the AV geek. So sound and light and things that light up and beep. So I volunteered for a bunch of years doing that. And that was a whole lot of fun, and I really enjoyed it. Although my first year, I thought, science fiction convention seems really nerdy. Am I really to go full nerd like that? And the answer turned out to be yes. So yeah. A couple of years later, the person who was then the director of the science track heard from someone else that I was like an actual physicist, because that was one of the things that the tech ops people always kind of enjoyed. Like, yeah, we've got our pet physicist running around running cable under stages and things like that. And he said, hey, you want to come give a talk on the track? And I was like, sure, I'll try that. And it turned out I really enjoyed doing that, that this idea of science communication and outreach was something that meant a lot to me and that I really felt drawn to. So I started doing more and more of that and less of the tech ops stuff. And then when the position for the science track director came open, the powers that be at DragonCon sort of already knew me through my work through tech ops, through my work with DCTV and videography. And they said, you seem like a scientist who also likes to talk and knows people who like to do the same thing. You want to do this? And I spent a weekend sort of going, do I really want to start rolling this boulder up the hill continuously? And the answer was yes. Yes, I did. I really did want to have... You know, 30 to 40 hours of programming to put together that's all about really cool science and that talks to people in interesting ways and neither assumes that they are stupid nor assumes that they want all jargon and acronyms. Yes, this is something that I want to do.
Well, do you have a particular panel that you remember back on fondly that turned out maybe way better than you originally thought it would?
One that I did a number of years ago for the space track, I was talking about dark matter, about how do we know in the universe, we say that there's regular matter, the baryonic matter that we all are made of. Everything that we interact with is sort of regular matter. And then we say, but the universe is only 25% regular matter and the rest of it is dark matter and dark energy. And what is that? Well, we don't know. Well, how do we think that that is a thing that exists? And so I went through the evidence and the chain of reasoning and how we got to deciding that, yes, this is the best model that we have of the universe right now. And it's both kind of esoteric and also controversial because you're asking people to believe in things that we haven't directly observed. It's all sort of indirect measurements and deductions and math. And that went really well. It's a whole bunch of people in there. I got to talk about that. I got to talk about the Higgs boson, which had just recently finally been discovered. And towards the end, a gentleman stood up and started asking a question that was one of those, let me give you a 2-minute speech first, that ended with the question, well, when are scientists going to admit they're lying to us about relativity? I say this not to laugh because it turned into, I thought, a really interesting, we had about a 5-minute discussion where I got to sort of lay out, yeah, these are all theories, but here is the evidence that I understand it, and it's possible that something will come along and knock relativity over and say that it's not correct, but it won't replace it so much as extend it in ways to answer questions that we can't answer right now with relativity, just like Newton's regular laws of motion weren't proven wrong by relativity. They just were proven incomplete. And I didn't convince him. I don't think I was going to be able to convince him, but I thought it was an interesting discussion. And I had several people come up after and say, hey, that was really neat. I'd never heard it laid out like that. I've never had a chance to hear that kind of discussion. And we were both polite about it and straightforward about it. And I was like, that's the moment. That is what I'm seeking to do. I can't believe it happened.
Wow.
So there you go.
Yeah, that's really cool. Now, you did mention that you've been on DCTV. How did your involvement get started there besides Brian hitting you over the head?
The group of friends that I was volunteering with Tech Ops, with this group of friends, that's a lot of the words with. We're just going to pretend I know English and go on. So among that friend was Brian Richardson, And he was a man who liked to do cameras and filming things and realized at some point he, along with several other people, were like, we kind of need to put stuff in between panels and to entertain people while they're waiting for the masquerade results. And so they did a couple of Photoshop still things, and that went over really well. And then he expanded into doing video. And I actually have an undergraduate degree in theater arts, which means that the shame part of my brain was burnt out a long time ago. So when he started saying, who could we find who will be in front of camera and look like an idiot? I was like, yeah, sure, that sounds like fun. And that's how I got to be involved with DCTV.
Do you have a favorite bit that you guys did or you know, whatever?
Oh, gosh, lots of favorite bits. I really did enjoy my run of Jonathan Coulton music videos, just because that it was the right place at the right time. It sort of captured lightning in a bottle, and was so pleased to have been part of that. But some of the stuff that I really have enjoyed, it's not even stuff that I've done or stuff that was wildly popular. There was one that I think there was a group of folks up in Nashville that went under the sort of the collective name of Techno Bohemia, did a series of commercials like the Intergalactic Pizza Delivery Service. And they did one that was, they live? No, they leave. It was like an ad for these sunglasses that would let you see the world as it really was. And it was done up like a big old French sunglasses commercial. And I always thought that was hilarious, and it was never super popular, and that made me sad.
Well, I don't remember if I saw that, but certainly your description just made me laugh, so there you go. I think the one thing we haven't asked you yet is, where are you located? Where's the panel room at?
The panel is in the Hilton in room 202. If you come off of the skybridge between the Marriott and the Hilton, and you're sort of facing the big open OSHA scary pit down to the bottom, to the ground floor, if you turn to the right, as if you're going to go to the elevators, and instead sort of keep going to the right to the escalator, there is the set of science and podcasting and skeptics and EFF track rooms are back in there. We are room 202 on that second floor. You can also come up the escalator from where the coffee is. Believe me, I know where the coffee is in that hotel.
So they keep all the real people stuffed in a corner is what we're saying.
That's exactly correct.
Okay. As long as we got that straight.
Don't let them escape out and frighten anybody.
Do you have anybody this year that you...
That would be bad.
Do you have anybody this year that you really want to see if you had some time to get away from your track?
Well, the person I was really excited to see was Alex Kingston, and she's not going to be able to make it this year now, so I'm just going to be sad. I mean, on the one hand, that's really nice, because generally when actors and other creatives don't come, it's because they have paying work, and that's great. I love it when the creators that I like get to have paying work, so it's not disappointing from that standpoint.
Well, and that is true, because as I always say, a lot of these people are job and actors people. Yeah. Don't get all mad that, you know, because Paul McGann has had to cancel and Jonathan Frakes. I mean, these are people that are working, so you kind of get that. But one other thing I wanted to ask you about is you had said something about a variety show.
Yes, this is Sunday night at 10 p.m. in the Hilton Grand Ballroom West. This is I have a number of people who work with me who enjoy science but are also very artistically minded. And certainly having done theater stuff as well as science, I sort of had a foot in both of those worlds and see them, in fact, as not separate but connected. So last year we tried a variety show, Solve for X, and it went really well, and so we're doing it again. So we are going to have musicians doing science-themed songs. We're going to have people telling stories involving not necessarily about science, but about how science has impacted their lives in one way or another. We're going to have some science themed stand up. And then the possibly weirdest, most science geeky thing we can do, PowerPoint karaoke, where we're going to put a couple of scientists up and they're going to have to give a talk to a series of PowerPoint slides they have never seen before in their life. So they're going to have to improvise a fake scientific talk.
Oh, that is brilliant. Where is that again?
That is in the Hilton Grand Ballroom West, which is on the second floor. It's where the Walk of Fame used to be.
Okay. Yeah. And at what time?
It is at 10 p.m.
So you can come and karaoke for charity with me at 8:30 and then go over there and do Science Variety stuff.
Yes, do that.
Woohoo!
That sounds really cool. All right, so Lee, do you have anything else?
No, I mean,
he says in the awkward silence, go on. Yes.
Right. He says in the awkward silence. No, I mean, I think it's just if there were something, I mean, you said Alex Kingston. Is there anything else? I mean, is there another thing? I mean, John Noble is coming and we love
John Noble is coming. And I, you know, if I could have sucked him into the science track as if through a portal and Fringe, I would have done it. I also am really excited. One of the things that I do at the convention as sort of part of the DC TV thing is I'm one of the three co-hosts for The Late Show, which is, of course, our morning show that we do at 9 a.m. every morning. I can't believe I signed up to do this, but we're coming up on our like 7th year of doing it. It's amazing. So a lot of times we end up on Friday mornings, the first show, we will be opening in front of one of the bigger guests. And in fact, one of the first times that we ever did it, it was before the William Shatner panel. And we were told, it's okay, you know, you're not going to have a big audience or anything like that. We'll have everybody come in afterwards. And then when, of course, they saw the size of the lines, they're like, all right, we're just going to load the ballroom and you're going to have a William Shatner-sized ballroom full of fans as your audience. Hope that morning show goes well.
Yeah, so that waiting for you to get off stage so William Shatner will.
That is exactly correct.
Yeah.
But the audience was really, really warm and nice, so that was helpful. And this year, Friday morning, we're going to get to open for Big Bird himself, Carol Spinney. And
that's awesome.
I am kind of 8 years old again at that thought.
Well, I think there is just something, I grew up with Big Bird, my son. And now kind of a next generation, I'm not a grandmother, but I have nieces and nephews that are much younger. And I mean, I just love it. They love Big Bird. They love the puppets and the Muppets and all of that. And so I'm just so excited. That is like, I know that's who there are like two things I really at some point hope I get to go see. And one of them is anything with Carol Spiney or Spinney. I don't know.
Yeah,
and
I don't know.
The other thing is the Sleepy Hollow with John Noble and Tom Misson. I really just I want to go see that because I, as batshit insane, excuse my language, as that show is, it's one of my favorite shows on TV. I love that. I don't miss it. I love Sleepy Hollow. Well, it's crazy.
And Sleepy Hollow is crossing over with Bones, so maybe we can get David Boreanaz to come and talk about that. And Angel.
Wait, what?
And Angel. Whoa.
Hold on.
You didn't hear this?
No.
Yeah.
What the?
They are doing Abby is going to the FBI. This season, and she's going to be back in Sleepy Hollow as an FBI person, and somehow they're doing a crossover with Bones. Their Bones people are going to show up in Sleepy Hollow.
Yes. We wrote a whole bumper for DCTV about it because we thought that was just too amazing not to talk
about.
That
is just kind of... Oh, it is. It is one of those things you're like, John, Bat guano crazy show.
So,
Bat guano crazy. Just look, I'm a history minor, and I will watch some of the history in that, and I'll just be like, so wrong.
But hold on, here's where I'm having a problem.
Okay,
now I don't really watch either of those shows faithfully, but Bones is supposed to be grounded in at least some sort of modern day reality, right? Because
Sleepy Hollow
certainly isn't.
Well, Sleepy Hollow is kind of reality as soon as you get out of Sleepy Hollow.
I see. This is where we discover that Booth has been Angel all this time. He has been undercover, hiding his true identity.
That's actually probably true.
Look,
that's another Hawkeye. Fox show. We could bring it all together.
And just remember, Hawkeye is a vampire too, and Angelus was his sire.
You are correct.
I can keep going.
Eventually, we'll tie this all back to the Tommy Westfall verse, and it will be complete.
Boosh, boosh.
All right. So
that's very cool. So yeah. Oh, okay. Opening for that. Oh, that's really cool to open Big Bird. What?
I hurt. Never mind. Go on.
You hurt yourself? Don't hurt yourself.
No, this whole thought hurts me. Oh. Yeah, go ahead.
it could get worse.
Okay. How?
Do you want to hear worse?
Sure. Why not?
Yeah, there is also...
Usually I have to pay for this kind of pain, but go on.
I know. Yeah, I know. Well, you know, that's how you and I became friends. But I digress.
Wait.
But There is another, there is a rumor, and this is only rumor, that they are trying to figure out how to do some crossovers with Sleepy Hollow with other Fox shows as well.
Like which, New Girl?
Like with X-Files.
Oh, really?
Wow.
Oh.
Yeah. Now, you know what this means? that would not be the Duchovny and Anderson X-Files, but yes.
Here's what this means. It's time to bring back Warehouse 13 to take care of all the artifacts causing all the problems in Sleepy Hollow.
Bring back Eureka and just go, look, I'm sorry, this little time-space continuum, we got to fix this.
Right.
Yeah, no, seriously. Woo, got to fix that one. That's a bad alternate universe.
Well, Fringe was a Fox television show, so let's bring that in Fox there, too. Show. Why not? Sure.
There we go. It's Fringe all John Noble's fault.
And Walter's twin was already there.
This is the darkest timeline.
I did. Okay, spoilers. Don't listen for the next 3 seconds. I did cry. Oh, I so cried during the last episode of Sleepy Hollow it was awful.
I think you found your fandom.
I cried. Sleepy Hollow. Sleepy Hollow is not my fandom, but Sleepy Hollow is my fun show.
Okay.
I would be scared to touch that fandom, actually. No, I'm joking. I like the fandom. But yeah, no, it's crazy. Bad guano. Okay, so John, I think it is your turn for the versus.
All right, yeah. So before we let you go, we have a game that we've been playing with all of our guests, which is basically this or that. I'll give you two options. You tell me which one you prefer.
Okay.
All right, here we go. Star Wars or Star Trek?
Oh, Star Trek.
Okay. Board games or video games?
Board games.
Wizards or zombies?
Wizards.
Bike or car?
Oh, used to be bike. I'm afraid now it's car.
All right. How about scotch or vodka?
Scotch. Something with taste.
Yeah.
Good man.
Macintosh or PC?
Max. It's the best Unix desktop I've ever owned.
Nerd humor. All right. Doctor Who or Doctor Strange?
Doctor Who.
Voltron or Ultron?
Oh, Voltron. Back to my childhood.
Country or city?
City.
Science fiction or fantasy?
Science fiction, although that's also very hard.
DC or Marvel?
Well, Marvel, because they had Matt Fraction's Hulk guy.
That's very true. That was an awesome. Is he still doing it? Because I usually have to get trades.
Beautiful, beautiful clothes.
Oh, yeah. Well.
Beautiful, beautiful last episode. Last one.
I think
yeah.
I've read the end of it. Okay, so Armageddon or Deep Impact?
Oh, Deep Impact. That's the one that really made me realize, oh, they have to show that it's the future, so they're going to show an African-American president. Ha ha, now it's the future.
Uh-oh, wait a minute. So does that mean that we have a planet-ending asteroid on its way? Is that what we're saying now?
It always interested me that it was sort of like, we'll have airships to show it's an alternate universe. See, also Fringe. Yeah. That for a long time it was, well, we'll have an African-American playing the president, and that's how you know it's sometime in the future.
So now it's women now, right?
That's now it's women.
If you have a woman president, then it's in the future. All right. So neon or argon?
Oh, argon. You get all the pretty glow.
Let's see. Game of Thrones or Lord of the Rings?
Lord of the Rings.
Acid or base?
Acid.
RAM or ROM?
RAM, because you could change stuff.
Okay. Good point. Bugs Bunny or Daffy Duck?
Daffy.
Proton or Electron?
I listened to that gasp.
I know. It's like, so you killed somebody, apparently.
I didn't mean to kill you. I'm very sorry. It's just his inability to kill stuff reminds me of me sometimes.
Okay.
Electrons, because it gives me electricity.
Back to the Future or Terminator?
Oh, wow. I'm going to go with Terminator. Okay. I guess it depends on where we cut that off. Like the two Terminators versus one in three future backs.
Okay, and which one would you take out of those?
No, I'm saying I'd have a hard time choosing between Back to the Future 1 and 3 versus Terminator 1 and 2. So if I can select, it becomes much harder. If it's the whole oeuvre, then Back to the Future did end.
That is true.
Hallelujah. Yeah.
Well, what? No, Back to the Future can keep. Anyway, Mars colonization or deep ocean colonization?
Oh, deep ocean.
Negative zone or phantom zone?
Negative zone.
And last one, bacon or cake?
Bacon.
All right. Well, Stephen, let everybody know again where they can find you. Also, do you have a Facebooker thingy or a Twitterer thingy?
I do have all of those things. So on Twitter, I am Sargent, S-A-R-G-E-N-T, which was an old username of mine that I'm now stuck with forever. It's sort of like how the area code on your cell phone is where you lived 5 years ago. So Sargent, at Sargent on Twitter. You can find me on Facebook. I am Stephen Grenade. I think I am officially Stephen.Grenade.5. The idea that there are four others of us running around is kind of scary. So come to the science track. You can find us on the web at science.dragoncon.org. We have DC SciTrack on Twitter. We will be in Hilton Room 202, and I will occasionally be there.
And by the way, Hilton Room 202 is if you are in the Marriott near the extract room. You go across the bridge to the Hilton. You turn to your right. I actually just had to do this with my hand, so I made sure
you
I
did,
made the right.
You did the left and right hand things. Yep.
I totally did. Yeah. Well, I'm actually like pointing with my right hand to make sure you go right. They're over there. They're over there in that little kind of alcove little area. It's really cool.
That's correct.
It's not hard to find them. Right, even you, John.
Actually, you know what? That is the one place I actually do know how to find. That whole little alcove, because I always get stuck over there going, wait, why am I over here? No, just kidding.
Because you can find the escalator.
Where's the escalator? Now I can get out.
Yeah. Oh, thank God.
There's real thinking going on over here. Let me out.
Only sometimes.
Well, Stephen, thank you. By the way, how early were you on Twitter to get Sargent?
Within the first 6 months or so, yeah, because I had some friends online who were like, we're trying out this new thing. And I said, okay, I'll go try out this new thing with you, not knowing it was going to blow up like it did.
Right, yes.
And take us overall forever and ever. And
yes.
Ever. I mean, because Sargent is a pretty kick butt.
I'm very pleased Twitter with handle. That. I'm going to keep that forever now.
Until Sergeant Slaughter comes on and makes you give up your handle.
Or Sleepy Hollow brings back the actual painter John Singer Sargent, and he gets it. He gets the verified check.
All right, Stephen, thank you again for joining us. I appreciate you taking the time and all the work that you and the other directors and your volunteers.
We're just all calling them minions now.
Dragon Con, and also, you know, keeping Dragon Con honest, really.
Well, thank you, and thank you for having me on.
Thank you.
All right, so this is John for Stephen and Lee saying until next time, peace.
And bye.
Science.
This has been a production of The Unique Geek. To leave a comment or suggestion, call us at 833-210-TUG or email us at thegeeks@theuniquegeek.com. Follow The Geeks on Twitter at @TheUniqueGeek. Visit our listserv at listserv.theuniquegeek.com. This podcast is distributed under a Creative Commons share alike non-commercial license.